Hello everyone, my name is Elijah Dave, Minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Seventh Church Congregation out of the 12th Hour in Ebenezer, Texas. Today is September 9, 2017, or Z-19, 2021, we're starting short, our third service on this Sabbath day of the summer entitled The Last Mile of the Way. If I walk in the pathway of duty, if I work until the close of the day, I shall see the great King in His beauty, when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know the joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. If for Joshua I proclaim the glad story, if I seek for a sheep gone astray, I'm sure He will show me His glory when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know the joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. In the dearest of times we must sever, tears of sorrow see every day, but no sickness, no sign forever, when I've gone the last mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, I will rest at the close of the day, and I know the joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. And if here ever is the stricken, and if tried all His will to obey, drill in hands on the rapture of heaven, when I've gone the last mile of the way. We have gone the last mile of the way. I will rest at the close of the day, and I know the joys that await me when I've gone the last mile of the way. Well, yesterday, today, and tomorrow, let's do that track again. We're on part one, track number 12 of V.T. Harter. There's a lot of present truth in this. Probably missed the last time. It says that as we are living in a time in which we can't expect anything but to be sure of nothing, therefore all, including alike statements, diplomats and militarists, we will doubtless be surprised at just what will emerge from the present European conflict. At this moment, 1941, Hitler's dread legions are continuing their inexorable drive upon the world's mistress of the seas, and so far nothing has been able to withstand the fury of their onslaught, with the result that Europe stands in a terrified amazement, and the whole world in the alarmed wonderment at what is ahead, willing as was the Nebuchadnezzar in his day, to give almost anything to know, but Yahweh alone knows the future. For the wise men of the day can no more tell the future than could the wise men of the prophet Daniel's time, Daniel 2. If you think this is an extravagant statement, then meet the challenge. Produce your cause, saith Yahweh. Bring forth your strong reason, saith the king of Judah, of Jacob. Let them bring them forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things, what they be, that we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us things to come. Show the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Isaiah 41:21-23. For the one who foretold the rise and fall of the Babylon and of the nations succeeding it is the only one who knows what will be the outcome of the present distress of the nations. Luke 21:25. For light then on this momentous question, now uppermost in every rational mind, we turn to the Yahweh of the prophets, who bid us look unto the writings of his ancient seers. There all the world events that concern his sons, Isaiah 45:11, are foretold in the pictorial mode. The world's history and prophecy is recorded first in the literal terms, second in the parabolical terms, third in the typical terms, and fourth in the pictorial terms. For the sake of the brevity and in the interest of the facilitating comprehension, precluding the possibility of the sidetracking, this silent messenger presents his message in the pictorial mode. For the kingdoms that have gone down, the kingdoms that still exist, and the kingdoms that are yet to come, whose legislation involves Elohim's people, have been pictorially chronicled by both Daniel and John the Revelator. Now, in order that even the most skeptical and unbelieving mind be persuaded, the subject matter of this tract is introduced with the symbolisms whose prophetic import has already become history. A lion, a bear, a leopard, and a nondescript beast. Brother Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by the night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens stove upon the great sea, and the four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now keep in mind, Daniel is here in the United States with this vision. Daniel is looking back across the Atlantic Ocean to the east, to where Europe nations are at. He's seeing these four beasts in his vision, this bear, the lion, Babylon, the bear, Medo-Persia, the leopard, Grecia, Alexander, and he's seeing the nondescript beast, pagan Rome, that appeared at the cross. He's seeing all four of these come out of the sea from the east. But this is something we need to keep in mind when we think about Daniel and his vision of the four beasts, that Daniel and vision is in the United States. He's planted right here. This is the first time I've actually explained this in this manner. I've never seen it in this manner before. For the first was like a lion and had the eagle's wings. I beheld how the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand up on the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. Now Daniel is seeing this prophecy fulfilled in the last days here in the United States. And behold, another beast, a second like unto a bear, and it raised up itself on the one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. Now, did you get that? It says, And I beheld another beast, a second like unto a bear. Now, Donald Trump is, he is the result of the symbol of this bear. The bear represents the Medo-Persians, the second kingdom, this side of the flood. They represent Cyrus's kingdom, this bear. And Donald Trump is represented by this bear himself. So we're now in the prophecy of this bear being fulfilled. Not the lion, But the bear, for it says, and behold, another beast, a second like unto a bear. And it raised up itself on the one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it. They said thus unto it, arise, devour my flesh. So what is Donald Trump doing? As the President of the United States, antithetical size represented by this bear symbol, he has arisen, and he is devouring much flesh. After this, I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given unto it. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces, stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. A leopard-like beast succeeds the bear. And then we have this here, this beast, this nondescript with the 10 horns that succeeds it. And lo and behold, we are also in the last phase of this fourth beast. When the three before it is being described once again in these last days as meeting its fulfillment right here in the United States. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things, Daniel 7:2-8. These four great beasts, said the angel, are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Now they came up from the sea the first time when they first appeared on the scene. They came up from Europe. They came up from the old country. And Daniel saw them standing up, coming up out of the sea. In other words, they came by ship. They came to this country. And now they are in the earth, and now Daniel sees them rise up in the earth. He saw this leopard-like beast that was a composite of the four come up out of the sea. One beast brought the representation of all four of these other beasts that I had just read to you about. So now it says, the four great beasts, said the angel, are four kings which shall arise out of the earth. Daniel 7:17. Alright. Prior unto the Daniel's vision of these beasts, Nebuchadnezzar, king of the ancient Babylon, while in a quandary as to the duration of his kingdom, was shown in a dream a great image composed of the four metals. Its head was of the gold, its breast and arms were of the silver, its thighs of the brass, its legs of the iron, and its feet of the iron mixed with the miry clay. Intercepting the vision, Daniel said unto the king, thou art this head of gold, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior unto thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Now, keep in mind this third kingdom of brass. Now, this kingdom that Elijah David is the head of is this kingdom of brass. That's this third kingdom. As there are three-thirds to the earth's endings, the first third came at the flood with Noah. The second ending, the second third ending came at the cross. And the third ending comes at the end of time in the 12th parabolic hour. And this here kingdom of brass, the third kingdom, we're talking about here, rules over all the earth. This is the kingdom of David, the everlasting kingdom of David, here in the 12th hour. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay, and part of the iron, for the kingdom shall be divided, that there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. I'm going to read that all again. Thou art this head of gold, he's saying to Nebuchadnezzar. And after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior unto thee. Now, who was this, who represented this head of gold? George Bush Jr., 2001 to 2009, the President of the United States. Had two 4-year periods to serve. He represented this antitypical head of gold, Nebuchadnezzar. Because his name was encrypted and the name Nebuchadnezzar, that was told to me by the Holy Spirit one day, on the eve of an atonement, I believe. We were at Allen's house in Leander, Texas, and when that happened. And he said, George Bush Jr. is antitypical Nebuchadnezzar, and you'll find his name encrypted in the name Nebuchadnezzar. So by telling me that, then I knew where we was at in the antitypical stream of time with these prophecies on these four beasts. So, thou art this head of gold, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior unto thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And incidentally, that was told to me at the time that George Bush was the President of the United States, about 2004, when this was told to me. And the fourth, or 2005 even, is when this was told to me. And that was when we was in the antitypical period of antitypical Nebuchadnezzar ruling as President of the United States. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay and part of the iron, for the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of the iron and part of the clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. Now let's do that again. And whereas thou sawest the feet and the toes, part of the potter's clay and part of the iron. What does the clay represent? Well, all one has to go to is Jeremiah 18, verse 6, and find out what that clay represents. Verse 3, Jeremiah 18. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of the clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good unto the potter to make it. Then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Said to Yahweh, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hands, O house of Israel. So this potter's clay represents the house of Israel. Well, what's it doing in this vision of Daniel being mixed with this here iron that represents the beast, the Catholic Church? What are those two doing trying to mix together? Because they cannot mix. They cannot stick together, but they're trying to mix together. Now let's continue reading from our track. It says, as the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, and whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of the potter's clay, which is the house of Israel, and part of the iron, which is the kingdom of pagan Rome, ecclesiastical Rome, the Catholic Church, the kingdom shall be divided, or let's call it Babylon. Let's just call it mixed with Babylon. Catholic Church, nothing. This beast is represented with the main name is Babylon, and part of iron. The kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of the iron. So, this kingdom that's represented by this fourth beast, and that's represented by the iron for the beast itself, his feet, the last part of this beast, the bottom part of this beast, the foundation of this beast is his feet. And his feet is of what's divided. So the last kingdom that arises in the end time, in this 12th parabolic hour, is represented in the feet of this beast, meaning the Adventist Church had consolidated with these Sunday-keeping churches to consolidate into the Catholic Church and become one once again. So all the Adventist churches, all the Protestant churches, joins their mother church, Babylon, it's the Catholic Church, and they become her daughters again. Or they haven't stopped being her daughters. So I said, and there shall be in it the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest the iron mixed with the miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of the iron and part of the clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. So what happens? The Catholic Church is the overall power that rules over all the governments of the world, called Mystery Babylon, and the Adventist Church has accepted her governmental system and is using her money to make a living with and to pay her debts with. But she's going to church on the Sabbath against the beast's will, but the beast can't do anything about it because he only joined them up together to be a coalition together, not to rule over them again and tell them you can't go and worship on the Sabbath anymore. But they can mingle with the seed of men, but they cannot become one strong metal together, because clay will not meld into iron. You just have to get another iron that you can melt, and you can melt the two species of iron together of two different calibers and make them all one. But you can't take something of another composite and mix it with something that's diverse from it and make it meld together. You can't do that. All right. So, and in the days of these kings shall the Elohim of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed. So it said, in the days of these kings, whenever they're commingled with the seeds of men, all over the world, shall the Yahweh of heaven set up a kingdom. It's not the kingdom of heaven directly, but it is a kingdom of heaven. Okay? Which is the antithetical kingdom of David, which represents the kingdom of heaven. It is a kingdom here on this earth, physical, literal kingdom, made up at the beginning with faulty people. And then the faulty people has to become purified step by step, and when it is, the kingdom becomes purified. And this is how they become a strong nation that no other nations can equal to it. So it says, so he's going to set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:38-44. The great image of Daniel 2, plainly, the four metals of the great image symbolize, as do the four beasts, a succession of four kings in their respective periods. The feet, right and left of iron and clay, obviously represent two divisions of the kings, righteous and leftist. Democrats and Republicans. So this represents two divisions of the kings, and these kings are represented by these ten horns on this beast. So five of these horns are represented by the Democrats on the left, because they're lined up in a row across the head of this beast, across the top of his head. And to your left will be the five kings representing the Democratic Party, and the five on the right represents the Republicans, righteous and leftist, in a fifth period. Oh my, and we're in this fifth movement, the fifth period, since 2002, so that's when this prophecy began its fulfillment. in the time in which the Yahweh of heaven shall set up a kingdom. Okay, let's do that again. In which the Yeshua, the King of Israel, which is the Yeshua that lives, abiding in the heavens as a high priest up until now, up until this time, shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. Now, V.T. Hollis, instead of putting that indefinite article A up in there, he should have said, in which the Yashur of the heaven, king of the Israel, shall set up his kingdom, which the Father hath given to him of his earthly, give him the throne of the, his earthly father David, is set upon the throne of the kingdom of David here on earth. That's in Luke 1:31-32. So it says, the Yahshua of the heavens shall set up his kingdom that shall never be destroyed. Alright. For the toes of the feet indicate of a multiplicity of the kings in both parties, of the Republicans and the Democrats, that has a representation in our Congress at the Congress and the Senate there in Washington, D.C. They're sitting up on thrones there at Washington, D.C. as kings, these congressmen and senators. There's 565 of them. 465 congressmen and 100 senators, and the leftists. In another symbolism, a ram and a three-phase goat. Daniel saw that the goat in his first phase, that of the great horn, the king of Grecia, trampled down the ram, Media, and Persia. And that after the great horn broke off, Alexander's passing away, four horns came up in his stead, for the kingdom divided into the four parts, and that finally, that was the kingdom of brass now, believe it or not, a symbol of the kingdom of brass, which was the leopard-like beast, Alexander, the third beast in Daniel's vision, and that finally from one of the four came a fifth, the exceeding great horn. Now we're in that period of the exceeding great horn here in this 12th parabolic hour. The exceeding great horn of Rome. See Daniel 8, 9, 20, 21, 23. Some think that the exceeding great horn, the fifth, symbolizes Antiochus, who ruled one of the four divisions. But this cannot be, because the exceeding great horn coming out of one of the four symbolizes a fifth kingdom, and one of the four expanded. Moreover, the term exceeding great, in the contrast unto the term great, denotes a greater kingdom than Alexander's, and as Antiochus' kingdom and its greatness was not half so great as Alexander's, the theory is discredited. For the Roman Empire is the one that was much greater than Alexander's, and therefore it alone answers unto the symbolism in the going south, which is toward Egypt. Rome had its headquarters in the north, across the Mediterranean Sea, at the Vatican in Rome, Italy. And she crossed the ocean. She crossed the Mediterranean Ocean, went south to Egypt, which is in northern Africa, on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, the southern coast of the Mediterranean Sea. Then east, then on toward the Pleasant Land, the west, Palestine. It necessarily went toward the four corners of the compass, which is just what Rome did. Daniel 8, 9 says that the exceeding great horn came out of one of the four horns of the goat, but does not tell out of which one. Daniel 11:5, however, explains that one of the princes of the kingdom of the south was to have a great dominion. So one of the princes of the south, which was Arab, Muslim today, Palestinian today, as you know him, this prince, therefore, is symbolized by the exceeding great horn and shows that it came from the horn, which symbolized the Ptolemaic dynasty, the southern division, that's in Egypt, northern Africa, south of the Mediterranean Sea. Across the Mediterranean Sea north is Rome, Italy, the headquarters of this beast. Here is shown what history fails to chronicle concerning the origin of the pagan Rome. Now we see that though in Daniel 2 and 7 the names of the kings are not made known, they are revealed in Daniel 8 and Daniel 2 and 8 collaborates Daniel 7, for it follows that the four metals of the great image and the four great beasts are symbolical of the four ancient empires, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Grecia, and pagan Rome, respectively. For the following four maps show that history corroborates prophecy. I've got the four maps here. For the feet and toes of the image of Daniel 2 being a mixture of the iron and clay, forecast an empire which cannot cleave together. The clay caused it to break into parts, into separate kingdoms, some large, some small, partly strong and partly broken. Obviously, this scripture describes the present family of the kings in their intermarriage state, mingled with the seed of men, coming as a result of the crumbling of the pagan Rome, and make a fifth and multi-partite empire. Thus, this prophetic picture clearly foretells that the rulers of today, unable to cleave one to another, Daniel 2:42-43, are doomed to continual ruptures and hostilities among themselves. Map 5 shows that the modern divisions prior to World War II of the ancient world, as widely accepted, the fourth beast two phases, one with the ten horns, the other with the seven horns, along with the little horn, Daniel 7:7-8, portray first pagan Rome and second ecclesiastical Rome. So, the first phase of that beast is represented by the ten horns, which represents the ten kings, or the kingdoms of all the world. But the second one is represented by ecclesiastical Rome, the second phase of this beast, during the Dark Ages from 538 to 1798. That is, with the seven horns, because three had been plucked up by the root of the ten original or the pagan beast of the first phase, and the second ecclesiastical Rome and the little horn. So they had seven horns and the little horn, which made an eighth horn that plucked up three of the original ten. So now this ecclesiastical Rome, the second phase of this beast, has ten horns, and one of them has a mouth speaking great things that's in charge of the other seven horns. That represents all churches confederation. Well, not confederation, no. All church takeover by this one, this little horn with the mouth speaking great things. The horn head, the power that then ruled, was the religious political. These four beasts coincide respectively with the gold, silver, brass, and iron of the great image. In this prophetic four-beast symbolism, along with its historical fulfillment, We see the passing political events and the consequent changing political status of the world from the time of the ancient Babylon on down until the time of the Christianized Rome. For the great image, however, brings us down unto the present, the time in which we find ourselves ruled by its tokens. But as Daniel's series of the beast delineates but a part of the world's history, another crisis is necessary to complete it. For the only other such series is in the Revelation, the first symbol in which is found the leopard-like beast. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. So here we see this leopard-like beast, this is found in Revelation 13, 1 through 10. We find him come out of the sea as a composite of all four of these beasts that Daniel saw in vision. And he came from the European country, he came up from the sea, and he stood upon the shores of this great nation. And prophecy is called the U.S. and prophecy in the earth. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. He came from the old country. He came from Europe. And he came with the 7 heads, and one of the heads was the Catholic Church. Was a symbol or representation of the Catholic Church. And it was wounded in Europe, and it came from Europe with this wounded head of the Catholic Church. So this is Mystery Babylon. This beast overall is representing Mystery Babylon. And he got captured. One of the 7 churches represents the Catholic Church. And he comes from Europe with him. He brought that captured, injured head over here, and that head was healed in this country. This is where he received his healing power, was in this country. In other words, he came to a new free country where he had freedom now to heal. In Europe, he couldn't heal. He was wounded in Europe, and he couldn't heal over there because they got his numbers. The other ones that wounded him during the Dark Ages. So he comes to this country to get healed. He ran away from his adversaries, in other words. He came to a country that knew him not, and they let him heal. They didn't really know he was wounded. He camouflaged himself. Alright? And I saw one of his heads that was wounded to death. Now here, John the Revelator is seeing this vision right here take place in the United States. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. Okay, they worshipped the dragon, Lucifer, Satan, which gave power unto the beast. So Lucifer is the one that had the power transferred to this beast that came out of the sea at these shores, and they worshipped the beast. Well, who is they? These 7 churches that represent all the Protestant churches, represents the Adventist church as well, for the Adventist church is also represented by this wounded head that had joined and consolidated with Babylon. Sin, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against Yahweh to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in the heaven, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and nations, tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. So all those that dwell here in the United States upon the earth shall worship him. And the Adventist Church is born right here in the earth. And so since they have been taken over by this beast, that wound was healed. This was a sign that the wound had healed. When the Jesuit Catholics come in and infiltrate the Adventist Church, for all men slept, according to Matthew 24, Matthew 13, 24, or something like that. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So, if you haven't joined the kingdom, got your name placed in the Lamb's book of life, then you will be slain with the rest of them that don't have your name in the Lamb's book of life. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. Revelation 13:1-10. For the composite makeup of this beast, mouth of a lion, feet of a bear, a body of a leopard, and 10 horns, is faithful witness that he is a descendant of the Babylon lion, Medo-Persia bear, Grecia the leopard, and pagan Rome the 10 horns. Hence this beast is the melting pot of the 4 ancient world empires, and must, along with his 7 heads and 10 crowned horns, characterize the world of today. For the beast, a 42-month period falls in the time of the ecclesiastical Rome, from 538 to 1798 AD, a 1260-year prophecy, when the woman with the 2 wings of a great eagle was flown into the wilderness, for she had a place of safety for a time, time and a half a time, which is a prophecy coinciding, running parallel with the prophecy of the 1260 years of the Inquisition of the papacy. For the beast 42-month period falls in the time of the ecclesiastical Rome, as the empire after the pagan Rome. So pagan Rome had its empire from, say, 31 AD until 476 AD. Okay. So it says, for the beast 42-month period falls in the time of ecclesiastical Rome, the empire after the pagan Rome, as wounded state, Revelation 13:3, symbolizes her during the Protestant period. Moreover, the beast represents 3 periods. Number 1, the period prior unto his wounded state. Number 2, the period during its wound. And number 3, the period in which its wound is healed. Furthermore, this symbolization shows that the inspiration reckons the Protestant world still a Roman world. This we know from the several angles, the first of which is in the fact that the beast 42-month period parallel that of the little horn's time, 12 months, times 24 months, and divided the time, 6 months. A work against Elohim and his people in both records is 42-month periods long. For the horns of the nondescript beast having no crowns, and the horns of the leopard-like beast having crowns, point out that the letter symbolizes the world after the crownless horns, kings that were to arise in Daniel 7:24 of the former beast were crowned. Now, as we have seen, it is clear that the ecclesiastical Rome, as the second phase of the nondescript beast, was a combined church and state power, a horn head, having the eyes of a man and the mouth speaking great things, Daniel 7:8, and that the Protestant Reformation caused the separation of the two, so while the ecclesiastical Rome's rise and reign are prefigured by the nondescript beast's horn head, her downfall is depicted by the leopard-like beast's wounded common head, the horn part, the civil power. Having been taken away, the church was stripped of the sovereign power with which the state had clothed her, with the result that the governments are now independent of the church, and the church is in the subjection unto the governments. Now, this is interesting. There became a reversal of powers during the Dark Ages, a reversal of the powers. The power switched to the churches that was being possessed by this one church-state rule government, that was the Catholic Church. It switched, the power of the momentum switched to the ones that they were ruling over, came out from underneath her power, and then they, in turn, bear rule over the one that had rule over them first. That's the Catholic Church. It being true that the wounded head symbolizes a religious power, and that there is no distinction in the appearance between the wounded head and the six uninjured heads, then the fundamental truth is that they all are figures of the religious bodies. And I'll add my part here, that's not here, and it's found in Revelation chapter 1 with the man walking in the midst of the seven candlesticks with the seven golden stars in his right hand, which are the seven ministers of the seven candlesticks, which represents a worship service in the sanctuary of Israel. All these seven candlesticks and seven stars are representative of one overall house of Israel. And today that would culminate and dovetail into this one great candlestick of Zechariah 4, the tenth one, represented with a golden bowl on the top of it and the two olive trees, one on each side of it, and representing this tenth candlestick that's universal now, that's going to give light to all of the remnant of Yahweh's people all over the world here in this 12th third body tower, that the Elijah David is with the fueling this lamp. This lampstand in this sanctuary that represents the tenth candlestick, Zechariah 4. Moreover, as these symbolical prophecies deal with the Western civilization, the home of the Christendom, it has definitely characterized the Christian denomination, just as do the seven churches of Asia, Revelation 2 and 3. The one difference being that the churches of Asia perhaps cover a longer period of time than do the heads. Furthermore, whereas the beast receiving the deadly wound pictures Christianized Rome humiliated unto death, deprived of her civil power, its recovering from the wound pictures her exalted unto life again, having regained her civil powers. And as the wound was inflicted by the hand of the Reformation, it could never have healed had the hand continued wielding at it the sharp two-edged sword. The healing therefore vividly depicts the fall of Protestantism and the rise of despotism. Now, I'm going to read that again, this paragraph again, because there's some deep meaning here that I haven't even seen before, that you may want to share with me again at this time. Furthermore, whereas the beast receiving the deadly wound pictures Christianized Rome, the Catholic Church, humiliated unto death, deprived of her civil power. Now that happened in 1793 when the Pope was taken prisoner by the French Revolution, and which died in prison in 1798. I believe it's August the 19th, 1798. This recovering from the wound pictures her exalted unto life again. So she recovers from that wound, and she, where did she recover at? She recovered in the Adventist Church in 1929. When the Adventists stopped protesting against her, she recovered. And then she recovered to take them over again. Had a reversal again, see? Martin Luther did the reversal during the Dark Ages in 1500, starting the Reformation with his doctrine of the righteousness by faith. He took rule over the Catholic Church. Then the Catholic Church deadly wound was healed in the Adventist Church from 1844 to 1929. And so now she takes rule over again over all the Protestant churches because they all stopped protesting. The Adventist being the last Protestant church to stop protesting against this beast. So he didn't have nothing else to do but just get well. Didn't have anything keeping that wound open. Having regained her silver power, so she regained her silver power, the Catholic Church did in 1929. So now she takes over government policy. She takes over the presidents of all governments of the world again and starts wielding her power secretly behind the scenes of both church and state again. And as the wound was inflicted by the hand of the Reformation, it could never have healed had the hand continued wielding it at its sharp, the sharp two-edged sword. So the Adventist Church has kept wielding the sharp two-edged sword, which is the word of Yahweh, Hebrews 4:12. The deadly wound will never heal. For the healing, therefore, vividly depicts the fall of Protestantism and the rise of despotism. So we had a repeat of this fall of Protestantism again in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. The angel of the seventh candlestick was the last hope for the Christianized people of the world, commingled together. In other words, they had one thing in common. They believed in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the most part. All these here Christianized, commingled Protestant denominations. But they all fell by the stroke of the chopping axe by the Brutus W. Johnson when he refused to accept the message that would revive the Reformation and save the Christianized world from final annihilation. Starting with the Adventist Church, because that was he was in charge of, the candlestick of Laodicea. So when David rose up and took that little stone once again out of his pouch, put it in the sling, and he slung it, and it hit the giant again between the eyes, and he fell to the ground, and he was beheaded once again by antitypical David with the fifth stone, the five angels' messages, found in the antitypical shepherd's bag, the Bible. That was in 2002, folks, when this all met its fulfillment again. Though there is but one right interpretation of each Bible doctrine, yet a multitude of the conflicting interpretations are in the Christian world today, with the result that it is split into many sects and schisms, heads with no two believing alike. Herein lies decisive evidence that these churches are divested of the Holy Spirit and are running ahead in darkness because of the professing to teach the truth, but teaching instead the doctrines and commandments of men They are reproved by having the name of blasphemy written over their heads. Revelation 13:1. Even now, in the closing hours of the gospel period, the church says, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, neither truth nor profit. Though in fact she is wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, Revelation 3:16-17. And about to be spewed out if she fails now to anoint her eyes with the fresh extra oil, and being unmindful of her wretched condition, she is now ready not only for the rejection of the last message that comes unto her with the warnings and reproofs just before the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, Malachi 4:5, but also again to crucify the Savior, should he in the person rebuke her. And Yahshua came down in 2002 in the person at Kermit, Texas, at the threshold of the house. Laura Mae Johnson saw his apparition come right there in down her aisle and stopped at the end of her pew. She froze in her seat. She was petrified. She was like lost flesh. She was like a block of salt. She sat there petrified. In person, rebuked her thereby, repeating her rebelliousness of old, as symbolized by the Moses striking the rock twice. Numbers 20:11. Detail by the detail, we are thus far enabled to see that the healing of the wound is indicative not only of the church's failing for the carrying out of the Protestant Reformation unto the completion, verily also of the world's governments soon reverting unto the despotic principles of the Dark Ages for the ruling of the action before the wound was in. Let's do it again. Dark Ages to the rule. See, Vichy Hall got the wrong preposition. I'm going to read this whole thing again. Detail by the detail, we are thus far enabled for the seeing that the healing of the wound is not only indicative of the church's failing for the carrying of the Protestant Reformation unto the completion, also of the world's government soon reverting unto the despotic principles of the Dark Ages for the rule of the action before the wound was inflicted. For this repetition of the past is to be brought about by the two-horned beast. Who at my door standing? Who at my door is standing? Patiently drawing near. Entrance within demanding. Is the voice of you? Sweetly the tones are falling. Open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will hop up with thee. Lonely without thee stay, lonely within empire, all I still delay, I am condemned to die. Sweet be the tones of calling, open the door. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee. Door of my heart I hasten, they will open wide. he rebuked and chastened, he shall with me abide. Sweetly the tongues have fallen, open the door for me. If thou wilt heed my calling, I will abide with thee.